Now, for many Christians, Israel has a special place in their hearts and in their prayers. The tiny nation in the heart of the Middle East has had a troubled history from the very earliest times, and to this day, it continues to be a place of conflict. In May this year, violence erupted again as Palestinian rocket attacks and Israeli airstrikes caused over 250 deaths and 2,000 injuries. So as Christians, how can we understand what's happening in modern Israel in the light of what the Bible says about God's chosen nation? Julia Fisher, the writer, broadcaster and founder of the Olive Tree Reconciliation Fund, joins us now. Her latest book is called Understanding Modern Israel. Couldn't be more timely, really, Julia. Good morning.
I should add it, the subtitle is A Biblical Perspective. So I'm not talking politics here, but yeah, you're right. It's a very, very troubled part of the world. Good morning. Lovely to join you.
Some Christians have a real vision to pray for the peace of Israel, as it says in the Psalms. Others maybe aren't so sure what the fuss is about. Why do you feel Israel's so important?
Yes, we fall into two camps, don't we? Maybe three. Those who are indifferent, those who are really violently anti, and those who are very keen to know more. And I think the question that I've always asked over the 20 years I've been going to Israel and gathering stories is, what is God doing there? And if you can rise above the politics and try and understand from his perspective why this little nation and the Jewish people and the other people who live there are so important at this time, then it starts really interesting. And that's what this book is about.
What put Israel on your heart for the first time?
Well, that's a very good question. I went there, first of all, as quite a young child, then again in my early 20s. And then it was 20 years ago, when I was working at Premier, I was sent out to cover some news stories and also to lead a couple of tours, which we called Women of the Book. We took, Olive Snelling and I, another presenter on Premier, we took groups of women, 50 women, they were wild. What that did was it reignited my interest in the country. We would take these ladies around Israel to the biblical sites where there are stories involving women in the Bible. We called it Women of the Book for that reason. And it was those trips that made me ask the question, well, here I am in Israel, but so what? And then I had this strong feeling to ask another question. God, what are you doing here? Why is there so much fuss about this little nation? Show me. And I can remember so clearly, Esther, coming back from one of those trips and reading Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And there are certain verses, I think it's in chapter 2, where he talks about the dividing wall of hostility between Jew and Gentile. So in the context of the Middle East, that's Jew and Arab, being broken down at the foot of the cross. And it is coming together and meeting at the foot of the cross that we can know that we are loved by God and that we can be reconciled as we both appreciate our need for forgiveness. And after that, my quest was to seek out these stories of the believers in the land. And 20 years ago, there actually weren't that many. Things have moved on a lot since then. To find out those stories, who are these believers? Who are the Jewish believers? Who are the Arab believers? The Palestinian believers? Are there any? So that's what happened after that. I was on a mission after that. And this is where,
and you've said for 20 years you've catalogued those stories. So what is the picture that the book is full of individual stories, people who are African Jews who've come back to Israel and become Christians, Russian Jews who've come back to Israel and become Christians, amazing, inspiring stories. What is the picture? What are you seeing? What is God doing in modern Israel?
Well, just to take it back quickly, 4,000 years, Esther, just to put it in context, this is a nation that's been exiled from its land three times and come back. No other nation has even been exiled once and come back. So that's another question to ask, why? And of course, the story of the Bible is the story of Israel. And so now we are living in incredible times because in 48, the nation came back the third time. And as you mentioned, today there are people from Ethiopia, from Russia, from Europe, from America, from Australia, New Zealand, all over China, all over the world, have come back like a magnet to this little nation. And there are now, it's a tiny nation, what, 9 million people, 7 million are Jewish, 2 million are Arab or other nationalities. And you have to ask the question, why? And when you talk to the believers who live there, who now number just several thousand, maybe 15, 20,000 at the most, and relatively few evangelical Arabs, then you have to start asking the question, so what's going on? This is a developing story, but over the last 20, 40 years, these numbers have been slowly, slowly growing, and there's a deep appreciation that what God is doing there now is going to affect the whole world. We know the end of the story.
So when you say it's going to affect the whole world, what do you mean in a nutshell?
Well, the Bible talks about, I mean, as I say in this book, Understanding Modern Israel, a biblical perspective, we're telling the story of what the Bible says is going to happen here. We're not watching the political scene, we're looking at what the Bible says. And the Bible foretold these three exiles. It foretold that people would come back. It foretold the days in which we are living. And that's why it's important, because we can see that what is happening there today is a result of what the Bible said. The Bible talks about, even in the Old Testament, hundreds of years before Jesus, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel foretold what we are seeing today, these Jewish people returning from the diaspora. You know, after the Romans left in AD 70, they just emptied the land of Jewish people. So for 2,000 years, they have been wandering the world in all the different nations of the world, but now they're coming back in greater and greater number.
And do you think that's the sign that we are coming into end times, that people are returning to Israel?
For sure I do. I think it's a very important sign, and it's as if Israel is like God's timepiece. You can see what God is doing by following what's going on in Israel and putting that alongside your Bible and your newspaper. And as you listen to the stories on the news, actually put them in context. Don't just listen to the political rhetoric. Put it along, open your Bible and read that alongside, and you get the full picture.
Do you think Israel is still God's chosen people, or has that blessing moved on to Christians?
Oh, now that's a very interesting question. I still believe that the Jewish people are very much God's mouthpiece and his chosen people for a purpose. They're not chosen because they're different to anybody else or they're special. His favorite? No, we're all God's favorite. We all come to faith in the same way, but they are chosen for a purpose. So it's very important to frame that question and understand it correctly. They have a particular role to play in God's story, and it's through the Jewish people that he has revealed himself to the nations of the world, and we have a lot to thank them for. And our scriptures are Jewish. They're written by Jewish people. Jesus was Jewish. This is why this little nation has had such a rough time throughout history. They are God's chosen people, chosen for a particular purpose.
For some people, they might look at the state of Israel and its tactics, might say they're too strong, too aggressive, not keeping to godly principles, and that gets in the way for them of praying for Israel or appreciating what's going on there. How do you manage that sense of God's nation of Israel and the current state of Israel?
That's always a difficult one. I don't get involved in the politics because politics are messy. Every nation's politics are messy, ours included. And I think sometimes we're very quick to criticize Israel. I just don't go there, Esther. I just think, yeah, it is messy. That's God's problem. It's not my problem. We are told to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, to pray that the gospel can spread there so that they can be that light to the nations that they've always been intended to be. So I look at the people I know there, the believers, the Arab believers, the Palestinian believers. I think about them. I think about the Christians in Gaza, for whom it's terribly hard. You can't imagine how hard it is. For the Christians in the West Bank, former Muslims. Their lives are incredibly difficult. And we look at the believers in Israel. If you've come out of an Orthodox Jewish background and you've become a believer in Jesus, whoa, you are not popular. So for all of them, it's hard. And I'm not going to go into the politics of the region.
Oh, that's fine. Julia, before you go, will you just lead us in a prayer then for believers in Jerusalem and what you feel in Israel and what you feel God is doing?
Father, we praise you that you know every human heart. We praise you for your great plan. We praise you that you have worked through Israel, through the Jewish people, to reveal yourself to us, to the nations. And yes, so today we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray that the gospel can spread there. We pray for every believer there, that you would fill them with courage and with your shalom, your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Julia Fisher, thank you so much for joining us this morning. If that's whetted your appetite and you'd love to read Julia's new book, Understanding Modern Israel, you can get it from your online bookstore of your choice, or you can also have a look at olivetreefund.org, olivetreefund.org. That's the charity Julia and others set up what does it do, Julia, in a nutshell?
Well, we support believers in Israel, whether they're Jewish or Arab or Palestinian, those who are in need. We tell their stories through the Olive Tree program that you can hear on our website each week. And that's what we do. We support them and make their stories known.
Julia Fisher, thanks very much for joining us this morning.